Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2, please. Matthew chapter 2. You're turning to a passage of Scripture written by Matthew, written to a primarily Jewish audience. And we're going to look today at three characters of this Christmas story and maybe gain some observations and insights that maybe we haven't seen before. I've enjoyed this study and have been challenged by it, and I always enjoy learning new things, and I trust that this will be an encouragement to you as we look at three different characters who are looking for the king. Looking for the king. And as we begin, I want to challenge your heart today. If you're here and you're listening and maybe you're looking for the king, and you may say, king who? Well, the Bible speaks of a king, Jesus. As we see in our text today, he will be called the King of the Jews. But in the end of the New Testament, he is considered the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In fact, he is our heavenly King, and he will return in all glory, riding on a white horse with the armies of heaven behind him, and conquer all of the evil armies of this world. He's an all-powerful king. He's the king of this universe. He's the creator of this world. And yet, he has chosen to love people like you and me. He is so great and he is so big. But yet he's chosen to love you and to love me. Today we're going to be looking at the beginning of Jesus' life. In Matthew chapter 2, I want you to follow along with me. And we're going to be looking at Herod and how he looked for the king. We're going to be looking at the chief priests and scribes and how they looked for the king, or did they? And we're going to be looking at the wise men and how they looked for the king. Matthew chapter 2. Follow along and allow yourself to get caught up in the story. I'll try to paint the setting for you as I go along. But Jesus has been born. He's born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem is about 5 or 6 miles south of Jerusalem. Bethlehem is just a small little town. There's not many people there. It's not a vast city like Jerusalem was. It's small. Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. This is Herod the Great. And as we're going to talk about more, he was a ruthless, evil man. Verse 1, Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. And now these wise men are coming from a far country to the east. They're coming, traveling west, and they come to Jerusalem. Saying, verse 2, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah? For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt. And be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not." But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life." And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judah in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, "He shall be called a Nazarene." All right, Matthew chapter 2. And there we have the account of our characters, Herod, the priests, and the wise men. I want to begin with Herod as he was looking for the king. The story goes something like this. Jerusalem, which was where Herod ruled and reigned, he was known as a great builder. He's the one that worked on the temple and made it so great and large, and the Jews appreciated that aspect of him. But yet he was a man that murdered his own family members as a result of fear that they would usurp his authority and throne. And in reality, he really was no king at all. He was just a governor underneath the Roman emperor. He ruled over the province of Judea. Now, Jerusalem must have been a very busy place. And one day, not long, and it could have been anywhere from a couple months all the way up to a year and a half, after Jesus was born, some wise men enter into the town, into Jerusalem. Now, it's very probable that these wise men coming into Jerusalem expected to see great celebrations, because indeed they've traveled thousands of miles to see a king. Well, when they come into Jerusalem and begin speaking to people, and they find out that they know nothing of a new king, so they go to Herod. And Herod welcomes these wise men, and they obviously were wealthy and rich. They were not kings. They were wise men and magicians and astrologers, studiers of the study. They studied the skies. And they come and they ask him this question, and I want you to notice the very heart and attitude of Herod. Verse 3, when Herod the king had heard these things, in other words, "Where is the king of the Jews?" We've come to worship him. When he hears this, he is troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. As we look at how these different characters are looking for the king, we want to notice that Herod is motivated by greed, self-centeredness, and jealousy. You see, Herod was one who wanted all power and authority and praise for himself. And so he would go to great lengths to make sure that that was true. And here come these wise men into the city, into his palace, and ask him, "Where is this king? King of the Jews. We want to worship him." Worship here is simply the idea of showing respect and homage. This is something that you would do to someone who is honorable. It speaks of being prostrate on the ground before him. It doesn't say they did that to King Herod. They do that. They want to do that to the king of the Jews who had just been born. Well, Herod, motivated by jealousy and greed, we see he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. This makes me think that Jerusalem was caught unawares. They didn't know anything about a king of the Jews, or they weren't expecting one. Notice verse 4, when King Herod had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Herod, he turns to the religious leaders of Jerusalem and he says, "Come, tell me, where is this Christ? Where is he to be born?" Now, wording is very specific in the Bible. What did Herod say? He said he demanded of them where Christ should be born. He didn't say where this baby, he said the Christ. The Christ, Christ, Christos, is the word, Greek word for Messiah. And Herod, pseudo-Jew, follower of the Jewish religion, here speaking that of possibly the Messiah had been born. If you were a Jew and if you had followed the Old Testament law and scriptures, you would know that the Messiah was the promised one, the anointed one, the deliverer, the one who we have all been waiting for, they would say. But Herod here, so consumed by himself, has other plans. He wants to usurp God's plans. Isn't it encouraging that we can't do that? That what God wants to do and his plans stand forever? Well, he demands of them, and that word demanded there in verse 4, it's the picture of an angry and impatient man wanting to know now. And the scribes are frantically looking and looking through the scrolls, and he demands again and over again. There's an urgency. He needs to know. He is consumed again, not because he wants to go and honor Jesus. It's because he wants to get rid of him. It is a threat to him and who he is. Dear ones, there are people in our world. They approach life, people, religion in this way. They are their own boss. They live for themselves. Indeed, maybe there is someone here today that you have known nothing else but to live for yourself and try to make sure that you're taken care of and pleased. I want to tell you that that kind of lifestyle, as you're going to see here, and Matthew records for us how Herod lives and dies, that kind of lifestyle is a lifestyle that leads down to nowhere. Leads down to a death, not just a physical death, but a death of eternity separated from God forever. You see, Herod, he's looking for the king because he wants to satisfy himself. He wants to be king. Let me ask you today, who do you want to be king in your life? It's a valid question. Maybe that wording isn't relevant. All right? Who do you want to be in charge of your life? Who do you want the decisions to be based upon, and who do you want to be pleasing to? You want to be pleasing to yourself? Well, hey, it's really easy to do. Just keep living the way you're living. Just keep doing what the world tells you to do. And you'll find the rewards and fruit of that kind of life. But I will tell you that God's instructions and God's word tells us that the fruit of that kind of life, it's not good. It's not life. In fact, it's bondage and slavery to sin, and it's eternal death. It's a separation from God forever. Are you looking for the king? Are you the king? Or are you looking for the King Jesus? And I want to submit to you today, God wants to change your perspective around today. God wants you to see him and see King Jesus. May this Christmas be the time where your life goes from being ruled by greed and self-centeredness and jealousy to being one ruled by God and his Spirit and the fruit of love and joy and peace. Well, Herod, we see that he was an angry man. We see in verse 7, we see he was very, shrewd. Notice what he does. He asks the wise men privately of when the star appeared. Why do you think he did that? Why did he send the chief priests and religious leaders out? Tell me, wise men, exactly when did the star appear? Everybody else that might know something is gone. The wise men, they've been following a star. They know little bits of prophecy, maybe from the books of Daniel and Jeremiah, but they don't know much. They've been led by a star, I believe God intervening in this situation, and he very privately inquires when the star appeared. He's planning. He's shrewd. He's planning to get rid of this little baby King Jesus. Well, then he sends them away, tells them, come back. I want to worship him too. And we know, as we read the rest of the story, that this is all a facade. And I want to tell you, folks, we are good at putting on facades. We are good actors, at least to other people. But I want to tell you, you can't hide anything from God. Nothing. Looking for the king, Herod, motivated by jealousy, greed, and self-centeredness. He's an angry man. He was shrewd. But he was diligent. He was diligent about his process of wanting to know where King Jesus was. Well, what about the chief priests and scribes? How were they looking for Jesus? Or were they looking for Jesus? Let's face it, the chief priests and scribes, they are the religious leaders of the day. They would be the ones that sit up front in the synagogues and teach the people from the law. They were the ones that knew the scriptures and knew it well. It's for that reason that Herod called them in. He knew they would have the answer. He knew that they would know where he was to be born. Ding, ding, ding. Any clues here, chief priests and scribes, that something great might be happening? Is there any clues here that they made any choices and decisions or efforts to go and look for the Messiah, the promised deliverer? If they knew Micah 5:2, which spoke of Bethlehem, and that was the prophecy that they read to King Herod, they probably would have understood such prophecies like Isaiah 11:1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. They would probably understand this one in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, and from henceforth even forever the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Don't you think that they would have understood that things were going on here that the prophets had already spoken of? Well, sadly, there are people that are so caught up in religion that they miss God. They miss the Savior. And you know, this is just the beginning of these chief priests and scribes and Jesus and their interactions. And what do we see throughout Jesus' life? They continue to question him. They continue to try to trip him up. And eventually, they are the instigators and the promoters of his very death on the cross. When in fact, at the very beginning here, they were privy to something great happening, to his birth. And they could have understood, God is doing something now. And he's doing it in the form of a little baby. Yeah. Well, they thought it was the wrong time. Or maybe it was the wrong way, the wrong manner. The Messiah wouldn't come as a baby. And surely the Messiah wouldn't be born in Bethlehem, yet they just read that. Dear ones, what religion does is it promotes man's ideas on how to get to God. When in reality, what we see, even in the Christmas story, is that God comes to us. God comes to you and to me. And it's not about man's ideas. It's not about your ideas and what you can do. It's what God has done for you. What a blessed, blessed Christmas gift that is. As Jesus is offering himself to you, he came as a baby, humble, but yet he was honored as a king. He was called the King of the Jews at the beginning of his life. And what was the sign on the cross? King of the Jews. He remains that king. But today, he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What about the wise men? The wise men? Oh, I have so much more I could say. But the wise men, they came thousands of miles across the desert, probably from the region of Babylon. They were known as magicians. They were wise men. They had studied the stars. They had known ancient writings, quite possibly had access to Daniel's writings. And we know that Daniel speaks of the Messiah. They didn't know where he was going to be born. And so therefore, they followed a star, which I believe, I can't explain it. I believe it was some sort of light that God used to move them across, and it was for the purpose of honoring his son and putting a stamp upon him as king. They come, they seek, where is he to be born? That information is provided. They go and they visit in the home there in Bethlehem. This is, I believe, not the stable scenario that we see so often. This is a home. This is several months or possibly a year after Jesus would have been born. And we see them coming. And they follow the star right to the place where the young child was. The scripture tells us that it came, end of verse 9, and it came and stood over. It was established above where the young child was. I can't explain what that looked like, but we have to understand that the scriptures say that these wise men were clearly guided and pointed to the king. All right. You know what? You, today, you're experiencing a light that's coming from the Word of God that is illuminating the King Jesus today. I want you to know, dear ones, that Jesus is known as the light of the world. And just as God guided these wise men for the exact purpose of honoring and reverencing this king. And again, it doesn't say that these were real spiritual men, but they came with a purpose to honor the king of the Jews. And God made sure it happened. And dear ones, today, God wants you to know the light of the world, Jesus. He is king. And no matter how hard you may try, He will always remain the sovereign ruler of this world. You read the end of the Bible, He wins. And I want to be on His side. And dear ones, today, as Christmas, as we celebrate this wonderful season, Jesus came, and He has made it possible for you to be a part of His kingdom. Are you looking for the king today? Are you looking for the king? Are you looking for the king with greed and jealousy and self-centeredness? Are you looking for the king just to discredit him and gain attention for yourself? So many in the world spend lots of hours philosophizing and trying to put down God. Are you looking for the king through your own ways and your own works, your own religious exercises? You're going to miss him. You're going to miss him. You'll find him if you allow the light of God and His Word, as we've shared today. You'll find him. Because I want you to know, God wants you. God wants you to find him. He doesn't make it hard. He said it in these words in John chapter 3 and verse 16. It says, "For God so loved the world." Hey, we like to be loved, right? "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." He gave His Son for you and for me. "That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life." Lord Jesus, would you take your message today and use it in the hearts of people? And as we close, all heads bowed and eyes closed, I'd like to give you an opportunity today to respond to the light of the scriptures that God's giving today. You're here today for a reason and purpose, and God wants you to know the truth about Him. You've seen Herod died in this story. He died a horrible death. His life was a life of just plain evil. The chief priests and scribes spent their entire life with Jesus arguing against him, and eventually they put him to death. And what did they gain? Well, they gained nothing except being separated from him. But the message that Jesus brought was one of love and grace. But you know what? You got to recognize you're a sinner, because then you know you need him. Do you recognize you're a sinner today? Do you recognize you need a Savior? Jesus, King Jesus, is that Savior. Is there anybody here today, by raising your hand, would admit today, I'm ready to respond to that message. I'm ready to become a child of God and part of His kingdom. Is there any here today, just by raising your hand, I won't embarrass you, I'd just like to talk to you and seek to help you along in understanding Jesus and who He is. Anyone? God, thank You for this time and these moments, and we want to worship You today. Thank You, Lord, for coming and being our King, but being a humble baby. And Lord, we look forward to the day when we will be with You forever. That day may be today. In Jesus' name, amen.